While the fullback position may be an endangered species in the National Football League, Alec Ingold embraces the role with a pride and enthusiasm that has made this rare breed a key contributor to the Miami Dolphins' high-powered offense.
I think it's fun, and it's you take a little bit of pride with it. Like, I feel like I live in the details, right? I am there for one extra blade of grass for Raheem. I'm there for one extra second for Tua. I'm there for one more yard for, you know, Jalen or Tyreek run after the catch. And it's like those little detail things, like that's something that I want to own. And like I love going into an install or a meeting and coach can put up like a clip that nobody knows about, nobody sees about. And he'll point it out in front of the guys. And it's like I take pride in that and being able to kind of be in between those lines like that.
I'm OJ McDuffie, a two-time team MVP.
And I'm Seth Levitt, a former member of the Dolphins Media Relations Department. And in this episode of The Fish Tank, Ingold shares his incredible life journey that has seen him overcome one obstacle after the next and has driven the Miami fullback to a life of service, both on and off the gridiron.
Hey, DJ Preach.
Let's make a splash.
You're now diving into The Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dolph fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to The Fish Tank right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt, DJ Preach is in the back, and my main man, OJ McDuffie, Juice. We are back in the Wingfield living room.
Yes, sir, Big Seth. You know how excited I get, man. I'm ready to get it in, man. I love, obviously, recording, but yeah. I love recording with, you know, my side of the ball.
I know you, and we get another offensive player in here. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And especially, you know, we talk about this generation of player and the physicality of the sport. And even though you weren't the biggest guy in the world, you loved a good physical player. So what better way?
Yeah, that's crazy, though. You
got to talk physical.
If you're not big, you got to be a little crazy, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But then if you're a fullback, and we're going to get into all that, Alec Ingold, welcome to the Fish Tank, man.
Thank you. It's good to be here. What'd you call this living room?
The Wingfield living room.
Okay.
So the story behind that, aside from the fact that Travis absolutely loves it, is that we weren't allowed in the building. So Travis and the Fish Tank came on board at the exact same time.
Okay.
And we couldn't get in the building for a year.
Right.
COVID regulations and all that.
And Travis was building this whole place.
Travis was building
the
whole place.
Where we're sitting.
This guy bled on the field. He's in the Walk of Fame. He couldn't get in the building, and Travis could. So we called this. And the first time they let us in the building, guess who our guest was? We had to interview Travis Wingfield.
That was like the initiation to be able to get in the building?
That's exactly right. That was the hazing, as they say. So, yeah, man. But really excited to be here and to have an active player during the season. That's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, we're hanging out.
Really, really, really cool stuff. So, obviously, man, congratulations on such an impressive start, you know, to the season, man. I know it's been, you know, just obviously a lot of fun. You know, obviously the ebbs and flows of the game have happened, you know. And we talked a little bit about you being on my side of the football, which, I mean, there's no better side of football than football.
He's totally different when defensive guys are here. Just letting you know.
Right. And I'm going to tell you this, too, you know, I played on some really explosive offenses like you guys have now, but I've also played on some offenses that, you know, honestly didn't hold up their end of the bargain. And, you know, for you guys to be a part of and for you to be such a major part of it, you know, and even the coach says that, man, talk about how it feels to be a part of this offense, the way it's ascending. That's a big word, like mayonnaise.
Yeah.
He's like going up.
The three syllables.
He's showing off.
Right, right. And being a major part of that offense.
Yeah, no, I think it's huge. Just being a part of like the chunk plays. I think you look back at the Bears game last week, that first drive in the second half, right? You come out, you need to score, you want to respond, and it's 10 yards, 17 yards, 18 yards, all of a sudden we're in the red zone, boom, score just like that. And it's like, it's cool to be a part of an offense where there's so many different role players that are all like craving more, right? Like there's so many guys that can block, catch, do everything, right? Positionless football. And to see guys step up and pick each other up when someone might not be having a great game, I think that's what's really cool to see is like, whether it's the running back room turn or it's the wide receivers or it's the line or tight ends, quarterback, whoever it is, somebody is hungry and ready to step up.
Yeah, you talk about a lot of those guys, a lot of weapons on the offensive side. But Mike McDaniel can see you absolutely one of those weapons as well, man. How does that feel when you got wide receiver, you know, the guys at the glory positions, but you're one of those weapons on this team?
I think it's fun, and it's you take a little bit of pride with it. Like, I feel like I live in the details, right? I am there for one extra blade of grass for Raheem. I'm there for one extra second for Tua. I'm there for one more yard for, you know, Jalen or Tyreek run after the catch. And it's like those little detail things, like that's something that I want to own. And like I love going into an install or a meeting and coach can put up like a clip that nobody knows about, nobody sees about. And he'll point it out in front of the guys. And it's like I take pride in that and being able to kind of be in between those lines like that.
Yeah, I have an extra question, Seth. Like, you've taken snaps under center, right?
Yeah.
I've never taken a snap under center. It scares the hell out of me, man.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken a snap under center before?
I played quarterback in high school.
Right.
Yeah.
So you guys are always under center because you're a younger generation. Most of the time, it's – yeah.
I did – so it was kind of like a glorified Wildcat. So I was in the shotgun a lot, but I did, like, grow up under center, like, blue 42, blue 40. Like, I did all that. So getting under there, it was like riding a bike. Freaking practiced it a bunch of times, so it was good to go.
Yeah, it was scared the hell out of me.
It makes you nervous?
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Well, like, I never played quarterback.
I never played quarterback. It was all shotgun for me, or pistol, whatever the hell it was.
You were just like,
yeah, I wasn't thinking about getting under center, man.
Oh, no cadence. That's right. Like, ready to go.
That's too funny. I love hearing Juice talk about you as one of those weapons. And one, just because of all of the things that you bring to the game, but two, because of the position that you play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is almost like an archaeological dig in some ways. You know, for us to uncover, big word, for us to uncover.
Which one was fullback,
dig. Yeah, dig. Well, dig three letters. Big. Three letters. Thank you very much. But seriously, like, for the fullback is in so many ways this dying position, yet here you are in this innovative offense, mm-hmm. and it's not. Well, you do your share of, you know, we've seen it. Travis will be the first one to say, watch this block by Engel. You know, you do your share of things that are more creative. And we see it doing, you know, the wheel routes and all these different things that aren't just taking on a linebacker, although you do plenty of that as well. But talk about being a member of this kind of dying breed.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a dying breed and you're able to reinvent your position, right? Like, there's a few guys around the league that are able to be creative, like you're saying. And there's coaching points that you get brought up, and it's like you're creating football right now. You're doing things that are groundbreaking for the fullback community, right? That you're able to kind of step it up. And to be able to bring coaching points to life, to bring ideas from a tight end room and put it in the backfield, or a wide receiver room and then put it next to the offensive lineman, like, the positionless football, so to speak, I think I already said that earlier, is like you get to bring stuff to life. And I think that's what keeps you energized and ready to go. It's like your cup of coffee in the morning. Like, you get excited to watch film and be like, okay, what are we gonna learn today? What are we gonna get to do on practice field and then showcase it on Sunday?
So, and is that something you're experiencing that is a little bit new and refreshing? Like, you've played fullback, and we'll get into kind of the history and the evolution of the different positions you've played. But, you know, you played fullback in college, and now the fullback position that you're playing now and all the things that you're talking about, is that a new experience for you at the position?
I thought I played football before, and, like, now I'm playing football. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a completely different challenge, and I feel like that's a huge reason why I came here, and it's tough. You're in the middle of the season. It's a brand new game plan every week. You're not running the same 10 plays that you're used to running every single week in, week out. So it's a challenge, but it's like you embrace that, and that's what makes football so fun.
Yeah, well, it's got to be fun, right? Yeah, you know, you put a whole lot of effort to not enjoy it, man. That's for sure. I'm going to do what you did. I'm going to take a page out of your book and a follow-up question. You mentioned the fullback community. Mm. How big is that community? I mean, like, you know, I see the tight ends now. They think they're all cool, and they have the tight end university and all that. Is that like five of you guys? Like, what?
Yeah,
what
we
kind of
just
community?
I mean, we just kind of text each other. It's a small group chat. Right. You know what I'm saying?
It's like four guys on WhatsApp.
Yeah, no, I think I literally have the best fullback jersey collection, like the little jersey swaps, and it's like there's like 10. It's
like, that's outstanding.
Crazy.
That really is good. You know, we're talking a little bit about fullback, but let's talk a little bit about how you actually became a fullback in this league. I mean, you were the Gatorade Wisconsin Player of the Year as a dual threat quarterback, like you talked about in high school. But then you get to the University of Wisconsin. We know how this works. You get to college, they bring you in a certain thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, you they are the plan. It's the bait and switch type of deal a lot of times, right? You know what I mean? And then move you around and finally settle on at fullback. Mm-hmm. Now, you must have been doing something right, because – I mean, you were the only fullback invited to combine.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. But, you know, because you go to combine as the only fullback, but then the draft comes around and you don't get drafted. Talk about that part.
Yeah, that one still doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. And, you know, that's God's plan, whatever it was. Shoot, it was that whole college experience. You're a quarterback. You go to college. They say, we're going to give you an offer as an athlete. So you're taking that leap of faith. We're going to figure it out.
Right.
They have some spots open at linebacker that, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to gain 20, 30 pounds. I'm going to put on some weight. I'm going to be in the box. I'm going to be like that Big Ten linebacker. And all the running backs get hurt. And I put on all this weight to play linebacker. And they're like, hey, you want to go play running back? I'm like, I just put on all this weight. What are you talking about? Right. Like, what are we doing? I was like, fine. I just want to find the field. I just want to be with the guys. I want to be on the field. I want to play football. I want to be in the game. So go over to running back for that first year. Played really well. Everyone got healthy from running back. And they're like, we're going to need you to move again to fullback. Oh. I was like, okay. Like, I see that. And it was a natural progression. I loved it. I loved the physicality of it. I loved embracing the balance, the challenges, the details that we're talking about. But, yeah, it was an up-and-down career, ebbs and flows, just like the season's going. And ended up on a high note, invited to the combine. I was running around with Myles Gaskin. He was like the same combine group.
That's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
It was, they are all faster and stronger and like just better athletes than I was. And I was the only one there. And it was a new experience for me. And obviously the whole draft process didn't work out the way I wanted to, but that just put a chip on my shoulder. It made me take ownership and showing people how much I love playing football. So when I got into a room or got into a building, like, you might have overlooked me once, you might overlook me twice, that's cool. I'm going to show up every single day with everything to prove. And I feel like that's something that I've carried throughout my entire career. And that's something where that's until I retire, that's what I'm going to bring. And I think that's one of the best lessons I could have ever learned was, you know, from the jump being overlooked and said, we want to go elsewhere with our investments.
Was it true that even before you got these opportunities now that you almost gave up on football and took a corporate gig?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's that pre-draft process deal we're talking about. Like, I was starting to get a feel like, okay, like, this might not work out. And I had done a whole, you know, I'm a big finance guy. I'm big personal finance, like money deal. And I took a job for Oracle. They offered me a job. I did my whole job interview, got my suit and tie on, like, did that whole thing.
You went to like a job fair or something,
job
right?
Job fair, went to Oracle. I was like, yeah, I would love to do tech sales. You know, I think that would be that's a passion of mine, right? Like, shoot. And no, I had to get all clean shaven and all that. It felt terrible. And no, it was one of those things where they offered me the job. I was super grateful, super thankful to have that in the back pocket. But I was not. I took that phone call so fast and being like, hey, I don't need that job anymore. I'm going to go play fullback in the NFL.
Right.
Like,
I'm not done yet.
It's cool.
What did that call? What was that call like when you called, hey, you know that job you just offered me? And just said, yes, forget about it.
Like, it was a call and I was ecstatic. I was like so happy to make that call. I'm like, I'm going to call her up. Hey, like, I know you, I was going to move out to Boston and do this whole like tech sale thing. Like, the Raiders are actually going to keep me on for this year and I'm going to take this job. I'm going to keep doing it. I appreciate it. Best of luck, that type of thing. Sent a little email out, you know, condolences or like best, right. Comma, right. Send out.
Yeah, got that bridge. Done. That bridge is still open, probably.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. No, you don't want to burn any bridges. Yeah, right. At the same time, like I do like playing football a little bit.
See, there's a good way to say no, kids. So listen.
Right.
To that.
Right.
And was it well received? Did you get a response?
They
back?
Were pumped.
They
were hooped. They're like, all right, we're fans now. Let's go. Like, we got somebody to follow on Sundays.
Very cool. That is super cool.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230, Equal Housing Lender, federally insured by NCUA.
So, look, we could talk football all day, and you probably do that on all the shows.
No,
see, Juice wants to do that. But this is the tank, man, so we do things a little bit differently. And I want to go back even further than like, being a dual-threat quarterback in high school, like, all the way to the beginning.
Mm.
And, you know, it doesn't take long to do the research, and it's well-documented about your story and being adopted as an infant, as a newborn.
Yeah.
And all of the work that you do now, and, you know, I want to get into the community work and certainly have been this incredible spokesperson for the adoption community. But talk about your journey, because what I read and what I heard was there were some struggles there, and not at home, because it seems like, man, you landed like just an amazing family, a loving family, and that was really cool to see that dynamic. But you talked about having like the weight of the world on your shoulders at 7 years old and struggling with your self-worth. And I, as a dad, I'm like, I can't imagine my kids feeling that way. So just kind of tell us a little bit about that experience.
Being adopted is like one of the, I mean, it's the best blessing I've ever had in my life. Like having two loving parents, a household that was stable, never moved my whole, my childhood. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And to be able to have a family that supports you, loves you, like I was taught all those lessons early on, right off the bat. The tough part was feeling like someone gave me up because I wasn't good enough for them, or I was too big of a problem, or I was an issue, right? And like that always sat deep with me. And that's something where, was it my fault that I'm adopted? No. But as a kid growing up, there's different times where you don't really understand everything. You don't really get the whole picture, right? And I was just a big time perfectionist, always needed to get straight A's, always needed to win every game, always needed to like prove myself to other people, to be accepted, to be loved.
And you're saying that was connected to
And that was connected to that whole adoption story. And just learning those lessons, going through it, it's gotten me to where I'm at now. Like it keeps me hyper focused to be the best I can. But at the same time, embracing all those feelings and emotions and like sharing that with a family that loves you, like that's what's purposeful in my life now, because I can share that with a kid and I can look them in the eyes and know exactly what they're going through and be like, I've had struggles looking in the mirror too. And like knowing that and like connecting like that, and then showing them my family and how we interact and be like, it's going to get better. Like all of these things, here's all the tips, tricks, whatever, like go have fun, be great, put a smile on your face, love in your heart. Like all of those things, I think it's really cool to kind of connect to a population like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And I wonder, like, was there a point in your life where kind of the light switch was flipped and you started to not kind of, whether it was blame yourself or internalize those things, and you started to kind of just get comfortable in your own skin and understand that the world just doesn't always work the way you hoped it would?
I mean, I fight with that every day. Yeah. I think you walk with that every day. It's a part of you, right? But if you know it's a part of you and you've learned from it, you know, those big changes in your life, when you switch franchises, when you move across the country, you know, everything's new all of a sudden, you get all these little feelings starting to creep back up.
Right.
But having gone through it, having communicated with people, having talking with coaches, family members, having that support system, you're able to go through these changes and these challenges a whole lot better because you have that support system, because you've already talked about it, because we've already went over that bridge, so
right,
to speak. So you're able to deal with that battle easier and easier as life goes on.
Wow.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So obviously your personal experiences and, you know, and your upbringing really continue to shape the person that you are today, you know, and that's super impressive. One thing that impresses Seth and I more than anything is when young guys get it, you know what I mean, when they give back and obviously and paying things forward. And from what I understand, you started, that all started when you were at Wisconsin. Talk about that part of, you know, and how you started getting it and well, actually having the ability to give back while you were at Wisconsin.
I think that was the first time you really have a platform where people are like, oh, like you get recognized, you're in the community, whatever. And understanding that impact of going to play catch with a kid at a school on an off day and being like, oh, like this is, you're making a change here. Like they're actually talking about this. They'll actually write you a letter a month later. They might DM you on Instagram or Twitter or whatever and be like, hey, like I watched you this last week, like it was cool to follow. Understanding that impact really started at Wisconsin. And then it's like, okay, once the platform got elevated, once you go to the NFL, once you get that bigger platform, it's like, how many more opportunities can I maintain, right? Can we get that one-on-one with that one person and make sure that you spread positivity up with your platform, but you also keep that individual one-on-one connection, that eye-to-eye, the playing catch one-on-one. I think all of those moments, you can't replace those.
Yeah, you know, being another Big Ten guy in Penn State, man, I'm starting to like Wisconsin a lot, man.
Okay.
They get it.
We're over on the West Division, you know what I'm saying?
So it's,
well, you're usually, I'm happy to see that, Juice. You know, sometimes you carry that stuff.
I do, man. But I love the Big Ten no matter what.
Okay, all right.
Especially when it gets down to bowl season.
Too funny. So, well, you've clearly carried that passion for paying it forward into the pros. And so tell us about the Ingold Family Foundation. I was reading about these programs. So it's the Ingold Inspire Institute was super cool. I love the Money Mini Camps concept. Yep. So tell us a little bit about the work that you've started. And then, you know, I kind of have a follow up as to how what that transition looks like as you change cities.
Yeah, the Ingold Family Foundation is really supporting those foster care kids in the community. Anyone that's been adopted, who's going through the adoption process. So I'm able to use that foundation, that vehicle. We just, you know, founded it this last year, and throw on some football camps, having fun, throwing the football around. But then also, let's talk about financial literacy and some of those life skills. Let's give them a little bit of perspective, some character traits, some substance to whatever they're going to go back to, right? In the classroom, whatever that is. So being able to budget, being able to know what a credit card is, all the boring stuff that, you know, kids don't really understand.
It's boring until that debt racks up.
But yeah, you get some NFL guys that are sharing those messages. It's like, okay, maybe I do pay attention to this. Maybe I do figure out kind of what's going on in the world there. So those types of things is really cool and impactful when you see a kid, when the light bulb goes off, when a young kid gets it, when they're like, okay, like I can do my passion as a profession, and like, let's see what that looks like, and help them write down a goal, help them go chase it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And when I was doing the research, I read that you were doing stuff. It wasn't formalized. You didn't have this foundation. And then as the thing started to build up and you started to have these programs to get more sophisticated with it, you're like, okay, you know, let's formalize this thing. So kind of walk us through that process, because that fascinates me. My day job is I run Jason Taylor's Foundation. It was kind of the same thing. I mean, he came in as a rookie and did everything that the team had going on. And then he had the veteran guy, you know, the Dan Marinos or whatever, and started to go to their events. This guy, you know, I learned about the whole nonprofit world with OJ's Foundation. And then he was like, okay, 7 years into his career, let's go ahead and start something.
Right.
I personally, you know, when I advise younger guys, I'm like, hey, I know everyone thinks you need to have a foundation because that's what an athlete does. But if you do it before you're ready, then unfortunately something that's well-intended can backfire or not come across the way that you do intend it to do. So I read something where you said you kind of did it backwards, but I think you did it exactly the way it should, the progression should look like.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to figure out what you're passionate about. And in the community, when you're doing different events, you got to figure out what you're good at, what you like doing, who you connect with, how you connect with kids the best way, or anybody, right? Like, it doesn't have to be youth. And going through that process and being very inquisitive, being curious, like figuring out, going to all those different events, just helping out, I feel like that gave a good grasp of like, okay, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. These are people I want to help and associate with for the next 30, 40 years, right? Yeah. It's not just let's help raise money one time. Like, let's make an impact, a sustainable impact for the foreseeable future. Yeah. And I think that's kind of where it was time to take that step and be like, all right, these are the people, this is how we're going to do it. The vision was laid out, and let's go to work.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it, man. That's awesome. And then what's also kind of fascinating to me is, so when you're drafted, the team's in Oakland, right?
Yeah.
The Raiders. And then the team moves.
Yeah.
So you're investing in community A, and then the team moves. And so, okay, cool. We're in Vegas. We're going to start doing some work in Vegas, and you're doing some cool stuff. And then you move across the country. So talk about being in a new city. Mm-hmm. And how do you take those same goals and passions and initiatives and kind of transfer them over to a new community that you're going to invest in? I'd love to hear how that works and just kind of what you're working on now.
Yeah, I think the best metaphor I heard was like when I moved over to Miami, to South Florida, it was like you had this bank account built with your, you know, Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. You had all these things going on. You had the money mini camp. You had the football camp out in Vegas. And it's like, none of that comes with you to South Florida.
Right.
Like, it's kind of there. And it was like, yeah, so you built up all that bank account, so to speak. I still learned how to build
a wire
bank
transfer or something?
Yeah. Like, we'll leave it there. I learned all the lessons.
Okay, yeah.
Just quick mobile. Shoot. But like, you learned how to build it. So now it's about learning from those lessons, the good, the bad, the pros, the cons, and we'll do it even better this time. And I feel like you can't get discouraged about starting from square zero. I feel like you have to see that as an opportunity. Like, let's figure out the people that we want to serve. Let's talk with different groups out here. And I have lessons that I've learned, and let's go make an impact for these kids. And I feel like that's where I really hit it off with Junior Achievement of Greater Miami out here. And then also the Children Home Society of South Florida.
Okay.
And that's big foster care and adoption community there to be able to help them out financial literacy, football stuff. And then we're starting some scholarships out for these kids for any extracurricular activities that they want to do. If you're adopted in foster care system, like, it costs money. It like costs some expense and resources. So being able to help those kids so that's not a stress, that's not something that's keeping them from playing football or going to piano lessons or whatever they want to do, I feel like that's something where we're going to be able to help out and make a little bit of an impact out here in South Florida.
I love it. So as you're doing all of this and getting invested in this new community, from what we understand, you're also being recognized for the work you've already done.
Yeah, it's spending the bye week Tuesday going up to D.C., getting a congressional award. It's called the Adoption Excellence Award. So it's just a bunch of people out there just promoting adoption, bringing awareness to it. So, yeah, we won a couple awards this year, the first year of the foundation, just being able to bring some sort of awareness to the adoption foster care community. So it'll be fun.
Well, he's a humble boy. Look how humble. That's a big-time
even
award,
the we,
man.
Even yeah, the like, we. It's a congressional yeah. award. It's not like no disrespect to the Kiwanis Club or anything, but, you know, like that's a big deal, man. That's a big deal. And I have to imagine from your journey, again, from infancy, to go through what you went through, what you struggled with, what you overcame, and now to be able to pay that forward and be recognized on that level, that's kind of a big deal.
I think it gives some validity to the work we're doing. And I feel like that's cool because you have a purpose, you have a vision, you have this whole plan of how you want to help these kids out, and then you have organizations that are willing to recognize you, to bring you together with a bigger community, to connect you to a new network of people, so that you just can continue to do work and create new ideas and new opportunities for this new community. I think that's what it's really all about, which is cool.
Yeah, that is outstanding. Well, keep us posted. Like I said, this guy's done incredible work in the community for forever. And gosh, I say forever. It's been 18 years now.
There you go, man.
18 years now.
Age, I mean,
no, I'm saying our foundation. Yeah. You know.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Well, sorry, Big Seth. I want to get back to a little bit of football.
I guess that
right
makes
here.
Sense.
You talked about a little bit. You know, you were coming off of, you know, coming into your own with the Raiders. Mm. You talk about being Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, an important part of that offense as well that we talked about, like you are here. But then, like 10 games in, I think it's almost like a year to the day.
Mm-hmm.
You have that ACL injury.
Mm. Yeah.
For someone who had gone through so much as you have growing up, and then you know, you fought and clawed your way back in this league, what was that time period like for you? You know, when you've done all the stuff you're doing in the community, your football's going really well, you're nominated, and then you have this, you know, big injury when it comes to football, the ACL injury.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing was, like, the amount of uncertainty that happened in the snap of a finger. Mm. And personally, you worry because you don't have another year on your contract. Like, there's nothing else you can do. The body of work was there.
Oh, man.
You put that out. It is what it is. Like, I am what my tape says I am as a football player. And so being carted off, like, the emotions of, like, having to go through this uncertainty with my family, the people who are counting on me, the people that I represent, name on the front of the jersey, the back of the jersey, all that, like, that hurt. And I was sitting there, and it was just like, there's a moment of, like, deciding, like, how are you going to use this moment? Like, how are you going to respond? I can't control what happened on the field right now, but, like, I can control how I respond to this moment. And understanding that, owning that, I still had a C on my chest. I still had a captaincy to finish out with the Raiders. I was like, okay, that priority list, I made it. I'm going to finish these priorities with the rest of the season. I'm going to get my surgery. I'm going to come back. I'm going to be in every team meeting. I'm going to help my replacement. I'm going to talk to all the guys the same way I was. Like, I'm going to be up in the coach's box helping. I was the assistant replay guy.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, that's what I was going to do. And I was just going to finish it out as best I could. And I was going to let the chips fall where they may, because that's all I could control, was how I responded. And I felt like if the guys in the locker room saw that I wasn't down on myself, I wasn't going to let it kill the vibe, hopefully they could go out and play a little bit better and just have the courage to keep playing. And that was what kind of I had to hold on to. It was like my family, my teammates, my fiance and all that support system there, man. And we're going to let the chips fall where they may. And it brought me here. And it's been one of the biggest blessings, man. Like, I can't even tell you.
For a lot of reasons, right? It's just South Florida, man. You know what I mean? But hey, we're lucky. We're blessed to have, you know, Alec Ingold on our squad, man.
It's a, you know, like a year to the day, like you said. And it's like,
it's crazy.
A year ago, you go through all that uncertainty, all those lessons you learn, all that stress, and it just like, it was all for a reason. And now we're here, we're learning. We got 100 different plays every single week, and I get to learn all that stuff. And it's
I'm
like,
I'm trying to tell people that, man. Everybody thinks that, you know, you put the plays in, and it's like, you know what I mean? Then we just, no, it's every single week.
Yeah.
It's a different defense, 100%. A different game, especially Mike McDaniel. I can't imagine, you know, you said 100. We're usually looking at 20 when I play, but I guarantee it's at least 100 with them.
And
you
it's fun
especially
every
for
single
you,
time.
In your position.
Yeah.
Because, look, you're really fullback, tight end, H-back, you know, whatever it has to be, you learn more than most people have to.
And it's the biggest blessing. It's like, yes, like that's what you wanted. And it's fun. It's fun every day showing up to work.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, just not to go back to the injury, but your process of the rehab, right? Because that's the first part of it is all the things you just talked about, the mental side of that. But then the rehab and knowing you're signing with another team. I mean, I remember going to camp a couple times and, you know, how often do you see a fullback in a red jersey at practice, right? Like, I'm used to seeing the quarterback, but there's a fullback, and you just looked like you were foaming at the mouth, ready to put on a, you know, can I wear something a different color here? So, like, what was that whole process like, physically and mentally?
Man. Yeah, so, like I said, I wanted to finish off the season with my guys, so I didn't go anywhere separate. I didn't go anywhere else. I did everything at the facility there. All of a sudden, I'm not invited back anymore. Yeah. Kicked out of the building, right? Jeez. And say, okay, so we have some free agency, you have to figure out for a week or two, whatever. And I showed up here, and our trainer, you know, I hung out with Troy, and he was like, hey, I get here at 6:30 a.m. Like,
love Troy Maurer. That's my man.
This is what he does.
6:30. Yeah, he's slacking.
Yeah. Troy's
he was like a 4:30 guy when we were there.
Well, he might be 4:30. Yeah, I could show up at 6:30.
He's telling you 6:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that
Troy's
slacking.
He's getting his lift on. Troy's getting his lift on.
Yeah. I mean, that was the moment where it's like, okay, I'm going to show everybody how I work, how I do my stuff. I'm not going to be a, you know, big vocal guy. Like, I can't really do much on the field yet. I can't build that rapport with the guys. So I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to prepare as best I possibly can. So then I was able to, you know, get going as soon as training camp started. And that red jersey, it was terrible. It was the worst thing. I'm like 7-8 months post-op, right? Like, you still have some process to go through at that point, and it sucked, but it was something where I wanted to show the guys, first and foremost, I was here to work hard, do the right things, do it the right way, and be here for the boys and, like, play ball.
Yeah, I think one of the things, too, guys that, you know, are going through an injury and rehabbing it, you know, there's other guys in that training room that are going through it, too. And seeing the hard work hopefully motivates and pushes those guys to, you know, to work. Because a lot of guys, you know, the mental part of it is the toughest part of it. Not the physical a lot of times, but the mental part of the whole thing.
When you're struggling to, like, straighten your leg for, like, weeks, that'll take a toll on you. Mm-hmm. And it's like you only get an hour to 2 hours a day in that rehab room. So it's like if you don't show up your best, like, mentally – and you're in a little bit of fog, and you let one day roll into two, roll into three, it's like you can really, you know, put yourself behind the eight ball. So it's tough, and you got to have trainers like Troy and all the boys there just continuously pushing you for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Wow, man. So, all right, Seth, we're going to introduce you to a segment of our show that we have, and it's going to be great because you're an offensive
guy.
Should
be in his comfort zone.
Right, in his comfort zone. But he's a fullback. So
yeah, but he's just not like drill. The regular probably, fullback.
I'm not in the 2-minute drill.
But you're probably more in the 4-minute drill.
I am in the 4-minute drill. Yeah.
So, but we're going to give you a little 2-minute drill action right here. It's really a bunch of rapid-fire questions, you know. We're going to put 2 minutes on the clock with DJ Priest. And whatever comes off the top of your head, man, this
beautiful.
Is how we roll.
I'm a little nervous. I said, I'm not a big 2-minute drill guy.
Right. I get it.
I've got faith in you. All right. If you got 100 plays memorized for this week, then I've got faith in you. Okay, Preach is on the clock. Here we go. First question. You wore 22 in Optimus Ball. Is that right? 9 in high school, 45 in college and with the Raiders, and now 30 here with the Dolphins. What is your favorite number that you've ever worn?
30. Easy. This is the current one, man.
Stay in the present, huh?
Yeah.
Be where your feet are. I like it.
All right. Who is your favorite fullback of all time?
I mean, Mike Alstott. It's like, he's the GOAT, man. He's
Big Mike.
He's a big time dude. Yeah.
We won't tell Zonka.
No.
I mean, hey,
he's a halfback.
Different cat. Yeah.
Generations. I get it.
Different cat.
Okay.
He wouldn't even, I mean, come on.
I got to shake Larry Zonka's hand, and that was one of the coolest moments of my life. Okay. So I'll put that one up there. Let's
do that. He still has that presence. It's unbelievable. All right. Back in July, you held the first ever Battle for Wisconsin charity softball game. It was played by a host of former Badger greats, including your current teammate, Andrew Van Ginkle. We know Gink has great hair, but can he hit a softball?
He's going to hate me for this. not the pure swing in the world.
Okay.
But there's a lot of muscle behind it.
I believe that.
He's muscled it
out. Did he cut the sleeves off? I feel like
he deserves a sleeveless jersey for next year. Yeah.
All right. You're a Green Bay kid. In your rookie season with the Raiders, you get to play at Lambeau Field. What was that like for you? And if you scored, would you have done the Lambeau League?
Oh, 100% was going to do Lambeau League. I think 80% of that stadium was from my hometown.
Right. So
they would have
pushed
there.
You out.
No, they would have taken care of me up there, no doubt.
I saw something with your mom. She did an interview or whatever, and she's like, I think they said he's okay. Like, mom felt it was going to be all right. So I was hoping that had happened, but I love that. I love that mom had faith in the community.
She had faith in the community.
And it really is. Like, that's the craziest thing. When we went to Lambeau Field the first time, like, you're driving through a regular neighborhood, and then boom, there
you're
it is.
Through my neighborhood. Yeah.
It's driving like through your neighborhood.
15, 20.
Unbelievable. Minutes, yeah. All right, clock is running. Coach McDaniel said he was proud of you after you scored your first
touchdown. We get a timeout.
You calling a timeout?
I'm calling a timeout.
Timeout.
I'll trust you.
All right, look cool. At the clock. We get a timeout.
Oh, man, this might be the 4-minute drill. All right. So you're doing great.
Here we go.
It's on us. Okay. So coach said that he was proud of you after scoring your first rushing touchdown of your career, not necessarily because it was the first rushing touchdown of your career, but he loved the spike. He said something about the buoyancy of the ball and whatever. So what were you more proud of, getting in the end zone or that coach liked the spike?
Definitely the spike. I think that's where there was a little whistle, there was a flag, there's some distractions, there's some adversity. Coaches think adversity is opportunity, so I just took the opportunity to spike that thing.
Fabulous. I think we got one more.
Speaking of spike, if you were required to use an end zone celebration instead of spike of one of your teammates, which would it be? All right, would it be Waddle's Waddle, Tyreek's backflip, or would it be Wilkins' worm, which you may not be familiar with, or even Gesicki's gritty?
Wow.
Careful. How you answer this one.
This is a tough one.
Might need another timeout. Yes.
I'm going to do a full speed, like, cartwheel backflip if I could. He didn't even talk. Like, he just
laid out, didn't he?
Laid out.
Yeah.
I feel like if I could do a backflip like that, I would take that one.
That would be the one. That is the 2-minute drill. I think he did great, man. I think we scored.
2-minute drill. It was a 4-minute drill.
It was 4-minute. Wait till you see the magic of editing in post there. It'll be 2 minutes on the dot, man. Listen, I think in preseason or whatever, or maybe even, I don't even know, we did a Twitter space, and when you signed, I'm like, man, I love fullbacks. I love that a fullback's back in the offense. I like fullbacks that don't brush their teeth and they're this, you know, like the old school and it. And you have not been any of that, but this has been amazing. And I really have enjoyed learning about your story, but even more so hearing it firsthand
Absolutely.
From you. And
I
want to at least say, with the work that you are doing in the community, and it looks like you're going to continue to do, please don't be shy in reaching out to us if the organization I represent or Juice's organization can help in any way. You know, don't be shy.
Appreciate it. We'll make an impact together, man. It's fun.
That sounds like a plan.
That's what's up, Richard. Thanks for diving in, Allie.
Thanks for the time.
Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, Dolphins, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rocking with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Fans with attitude. Okay, this one for them diehards. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field. We gonna try hard. Old school, a new school. Mix it in.